Hi, it's Diane. It is Thursday, October 23rd, and I'm with the 8 p.m. Group for the Parent Success System. And let's just jump in. I'm curious to hear how things have been going for you guys. The last time we talked 2 weeks ago, we were focusing on activating the brain. So besides the fact that it's 8 at night and I know I need to activate my brain a little bit, how have things been going for everybody on brain activation? Wants to check in first. Paulette, you want to go?
Pretty good. I'm just trying to make sure that my daughter's also a vegetarian, so I'm trying to make sure I have protein food for her, like soy nuts or something, and cottage cheese, you know, when she's like not doing well in the homework or, you know, staring off into space or something like that. So I'm trying to be aware of that when she lets me in.
Yeah. So have you been noticing a difference since you've been, number one, have you been able to get her some increased growth, the difference?
Kind of yes and no. I mean, she doesn't really say it does, but I feel like she works for a little afterwards, you know, so I feel like it does. I'm hoping it is. So.
Okay. Great. Lisa, what about you? How have things been going?
Pretty good. I think, you know, for us, brain activation is about just trying to motivate my son. And so you know, I motivate him with short-term rewards, and that seems to get him going. And then just lots of little spurts, you know, where, you know, if I, you know, try to do something where he's focusing for 10 or 15 minutes, then he gets a little break, and so we've been doing that to get him going, and that seems to be helpful.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, no, it's interesting to think of motivation as a brain activator, but it absolutely is. So thank you for reminding that. So let's see, who have I? I'm losing track. See, this is what happens at 8 at night. I lose track of who I've called on and who I have it. Let's see. Lana, I see you. I haven't talked to you yet. Do you want to do a quick check-in and let us know how things have been going?
In relation to brain activation or?
Yeah, or whatever you were working on for the last couple weeks.
We definitely have been working on morning routine at our house and trying to, you know, get it flowing a little bit more readily as opposed to, you know, the starts and stops that happen. It's been going well, but in terms of brain activation, really we've been trying to figure out, since my son takes medication, he's 15, but he takes medication, and trying to get the correlation, or the coordination of having that plus having breakfast, kind of figuring out where to get it fit in the morning schedule. But it's been good that he's having breakfast in the morning. That was something that wasn't happening. He was taking his meds so early that he wouldn't eat. And then he'd go all day without eating. So now he's, you know, it seems that I'm talking to him about kind of activating the brain, and protein is a great way to kind of get the brain working in the morning. So he's sort of on board with it. But he's definitely eating more regularly a protein breakfast.
Great. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Heather, what about you?
Sorry, I had it on mute. We try a lot of different things. Some of the things I've noticed that are working really well this week was playing. We homeschool, so I tend to get very task-oriented. So one of the things that's been motivating him is playing, like just saying, if you hurry up and get this done, then I'll go spend 30 minutes with you doing whatever you want. And then that's a huge motivator. Getting outside and jumping and just doing things like spelling words while you ride your scooter. I just noticed adding a lot of physical activity and things like that's been helping a lot.
Right. Yeah. No, we always would do spelling words on the trampoline. That was always a good one.
Yeah. Just mixing it up like that.
Yep, it's great. Terry, what about you?
So we're working on getting homework done at the after-school program.
Okay.
And Tuesday we had a fabulous motivator, and that was there was going to be a Halloween party at the after-school program starting at 6 p.m., so after their official day ends. And she was so excited to go to this party that she wrote herself a note to make sure she worked on her homework while at the program, and the deal was I would pick her up early and she would finish up her homework. And that was because I told her if her homework I wasn't done, that her father would be happy to stay home with her while I took her sister to the Halloween party. So that was a great motivator. Now, today, I just reminded her that she had decided to wait to do some homework until today because the test was tomorrow, and that she should do it at the after-school program. And she chose not to, and we've agreed that if she doesn't have her homework done and her chores done, she won't watch TV. And she just blithely told my husband, I don't care if I don't watch TV tonight. So I said, you know what? It's been a while since we've done homework after dinner. Maybe it will be better than it's been in the past. Well, she was on her own for 45 minutes, and when I checked in on her, yep, I'm working on it, but she didn't finish anything in 45 minutes. She did a few math problems and a few other, on another sheet, a few math problems, and that's it. So I told her that I would wake her up early tomorrow to finish.
Yeah, so I guess you learned, I guess you learned that she can't work independently for 45 minutes, right?
Yeah, so I just would check in, you know, verbally, how are you doing, because at before dinner, I'm there, and I can tell her to stop fooling around, and we left her with no distractions, you know, and she, I was just one room away, so, and so I had thought the problem was more after dinner, that it was just, she's tired, and it's just too late for her to concentrate, so.
Well, and that makes sense. It's always fun when you find out what doesn't work, because then you know you got to try something else, right?
And then I'm so proud of myself because I didn't get mad at her.
Yeah, that's huge. Well, congratulations for that.
Yeah, so I just you know, called upstairs as she was getting ready and said, I'm going to wake you up early. I need you to get dressed, brush your teeth, eat your breakfast, and then start your homework. So hopefully we can get a few more math problems done and get the spelling done. And at least the spelling will be fresh in her mind. And we did do our math facts at dinner, so that was good.
There you go. Well, that's A-plus for being creative and keeping your cool. Good job. So let's everybody take a second, and we want to take aim before we get into our topic tonight, which is parenting positively. And, you know, earlier this week I got a question from the group, and they said, well, should I pick something that goes along with parenting positively, or can I pick anything? And I guess what I would tell you is technically pick anything, because in theory you could probably apply any tool to any challenge area. But if you have something in particular that you know that you want to focus in on from a more positive parenting perspective, would encourage you to pick that. So take a minute and take aim. And just a reminder, when we take aim, we want to get really specific. It's not just about homework. It's about, you know, helping my daughter to stay, to work independently for short periods of time when she's doing her homework. Or it's about helping my child to remember to turn in their homework. Or it's about getting my child to keep their hands to themselves when they're in a classroom setting or whatever it is. But you want to get really specific so that you can figure out what your solution is more clearly and concisely. We don't want to overwhelm you. We don't want to overwhelm your kids. We want to focus, you know, just for this next period of time on one particular area. So let me know if you need any help in figuring out how a specific area to take aim, and I'm curious to hear from a couple of you at least where you're going to take aim.
Well, I know how I'm going to take aim. This is Lisa. And I'm going to my focus is going to be is to not yell at my son.
Okay.
He says that I yell at him every day.
Okay, great. Do you agree with him, just out of curiosity?
No, I don't. But maybe I do, but I don't agree with him. I don't think I yell at him every day. I know that I do yell at him, but not every day, I don't think. But
yeah, it might be interesting to see whether your perspective of what yelling looks like and his perspective are the same. I know that I have a sensitivity to people raising their voice, and so I will tell my kid's dad that it sounds like he's yelling at me, and he's like, I'm not yelling. You want to hear me yell? I'll show you yelling. But no, I'm teasing about that part. But, you know, I think different people have a different perspective of what it means, and so it might be interesting to see whether your child has a different view of what it sounds like when you yell.
Okay.
So, well, wants to share what they're going to take aim on.
Could I get a little coaching with choosing aim? I mean, it's about, this is Lana, and it's about Gabe doing his homework, because we have feedback from the school today that he hasn't turned in some assignments in different classes and that he's kind of slid off. So it's really about his doing homework. Like, he's participating in class and is doing, like, bio labs and stuff, but and doing well, but it's when he's coming home, he's not getting some homework done, and a couple of his grades on tests were really showing that he wasn't doing the reading and learning the material. So it's not a question of understanding the material. He does. It's really, there's some challenge going on for him. And I don't really know. Yeah. What's the aim?
Yeah. So Lana, when you think about, you know, we talk about this, the 12 steps of homework, do you have a sense of where it's breaking down?
Yeah, he's got a computer in front of him, and he gets distracted. And I think he has a lot of time on his hands because they haven't been loading up the homework. So I think that he probably rushes through some stuff, ignores a couple things here and there, and gets onto that computer when he can. And
let me answer the question a different way. So is he capturing everything he needs to have done? Is it that he's not capturing everything that needs to be done, or is that he has everything captured but he's actually not doing everything that he knows he needs to, that's on the list? Or is it that he's doing it but he's doing it quickly, or is it that he's not turning it in? I guess I'm trying to figure out where in the process it's breaking down.
Well, I have to say that all three of those are happening, but the main one that's happening most of the time is that he has the assignment information and he's not really following through on it. So it's good intention that doesn't get followed through on.
Great. So what I would suggest is that you take aim on helping him to follow through on assuring that his assignments are completed. How does that sound?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that feel right?
Yeah. I think it's always the problem when it comes to taking aim is that I want to take aim on many things. It's hard for me to go, okay.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's really hard. And so it's just really because there's so many different parts of this process, and you may figure out that, you know, halfway through the conversation that you want to switch and go, wait a second, I gotta start earlier in the process. But I think that's the piece of it, is that you want to get really specific on particularly on homework, because there are so many aspects to it. And you can tackle them all. You just can't tackle them all at once.
Right. Right.
So, okay.
Thank
Anybody
you.
Else need, no problem. Anybody else need help taking aim or want to share with me how to take aim?
So this is Terry, and I still want to take aim at getting her to self-start her homework. And I don't want her to do all of it. I just want her to get started, like 20 minutes, half an hour, when she is so much more efficient at getting things done.
So tell me what it means to self-start, Terry, because I'm not sure I understand at
well,
your
I just
age.
Want her to,
you expect...
to with, since I can't be there to tell her to start her homework, which if I were there and told her to start her homework, she would do. So I want her to start doing some homework, ideally after snack time, when she's had a little bit of downtime, they had time to fool around on the bus, have a snack, and then just do homework for 20 to 30 minutes, and then go play until, you know, she gets picked up, which would give her a good hour of playtime.
So I've got to ask, so she's 10, right, Terry?
Yeah, she'll be 10 next month.
So how realistic is it that she can actually take responsibility for getting started on her own, or is it something you need the help from the school for, the after-school program for?
When motivated, like she was on Tuesday, she has no problem starting her homework.
Okay. Okay, so with the right motivation, you've witnessed her doing it. And so
yeah, absolutely, enthusiastically reminding herself to do it. We've talked about it. What do you need? What can I do? She doesn't really have any good ideas, and I can't have a Halloween party twice a week.
Well, no, I realize that. And I guess the question is, you know, have you done it more than just the one? Has she been successful more than just the one time?
Yes,
with the
she has
party?
Been
okay.
successful on more than one occasion. Often when there's something else to do or a reminder from me that her favorite new show, well, we record everything, you know, will be on. But I feel like I'm dangling that TV time in front of her or over her head very often, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, usually she loves that. But today she knew, she says she knew she wouldn't be watching TV, and she was okay with that.
Yeah. Well, and so we can talk about, we're going to spend a lot of time over the next couple of weeks talking about motivation and about motivators and things that work. And I just, you know, it's important that you pay attention to what is motivating to her. And if it's, you know, if it's not, if she's not, if TV doesn't motivate her tonight and you feel like you need another motivation, you know, try to work with her to say, you know, what does your brain need? Because I think even at 10, you know, you can start talking to your kids about the fact that their brain needs some kind of motivation to kick
mm-hmm.
in. So it sounds like you're clear on what you're going to take aim on, Terry. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. Anybody else need help on what they're going to take aim on? Did everybody report out? I can't remember. Sorry. Heather, did you tell me what you're going to take aim on?
No, not really, because I'm not really sure right now.
Okay. All right. You want to let it unfold?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know. I haven't really had time today to collect my thoughts or what I want to think about this week.
Okay. All right. Well, stop me if you have a thought or a question. So we're going to jump into go ahead.
Oh, no, I just didn't hear you.
Oh, I said just stop me if you have a thought or want to share.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Okay. So we're going to go on into our conversation about positive parenting. And I'm on page 18 in the workbook. And, you know, I love this topic because it really helps us to focus differently on what's going on in our family. You know, of the four critical response areas, I think this is the one that is often the most challenging, but the one that I think that our parents, the parents that I work with and our coaching program, you know, this is the one that we really aspire to. You know, I think that's one of the common threads I think I find in most of the parents that are in our program is that we do want to be focused on our child's strengths, and we do want to be focused on coming, you know, yelling less and being more positive and those sorts of things. And what you do when you're focusing on parenting positively is you're really putting the relationship first. And for most of us, there's this conflict, right? There's this conflict between the part of us that want our kids to perform. We want them to do well. We want them to follow our rules. We want them to do what we ask. We want them to do well in school. We want them to get their homework done. And, you know, and there's a real value for us in terms of performance. But then there's this part of us that wants to be the nice mom, the kind mom, the mom that doesn't have to yell all the time, the mom that doesn't have to correct our kids all the time. And so we end up in this conflict, and a lot of times the part of, you know, one part will win over the other. And so what I like to encourage people to do when you're parenting positively is to really find and focus in on the balance. Find ways to be more positive and also help your child to be successful. And what you're doing here is you're looking beyond the what needs to be done and really focusing more consciously on your child itself. So instead of why can't my child get their homework done? The question becomes, what does my child need right now to help them to get their homework done? So you're really focusing on supporting your child, on helping your child feel more confident, more connected, more supported. And I was reading some positive psychology statistics, and it was really kind of talking about the ratio of ideal ratio of corrections to praises for a relationship. And what they were saying is that it needs to be at least 3-1, meaning that you, for every one time you correct your child, you need to do 3 things that are praising or encouraging. And if you want to strengthen and really form a strong relationship, that ratio needs to be 5-1. So when I read that, I kind of panicked the first time I read it. I went, oh, my gosh, I got to get to 5-1. That's crazy. And I started watching and paying attention to the amount of time I spend correcting my kids. And it's really kind of overwhelming to think about how to get to a ratio that really is more balanced even. And so what we really want to do is look at, you know, what are the opportunities to praise our kids? What are the opportunities to celebrate with our kids? And one of the simple changes I made is that, you know, if I correct my child and I say, please do this, or, you know, let's say, for example, your child is supposed to take the dishes to the sink and, you know, they forget. And so you say, you know, son, please take your dishes to the sink. And when they do that, if you immediately say, thank you so much for doing that, then you're at least at 1-1, which is really exciting because a lot of times we aren't even at 1-1. So you want to look for those opportunities to balance the correction with positive feedback or encouragement. The other aspect of this is that when we focus on what's broken, we see so much more of it. So if we focus on what our kids aren't doing, we see much more of what they aren't doing. If we focus on what's going right, we'll see what's much more of what's going right. And that's really what positive psychology tells us, is that whatever you focus on is whatever you pay most attention to is what you see most. And so you want to focus in on what's working. You want to encourage and support and celebrate as often as you can in a way that really resonates with your child. You know, I think that's the piece of it we forget is that, you know, maybe it's something as simple as a dance party at the end of homework, or it's a favorite song that you sing on the radio on the way to school when everybody gets to the car on time. You know, it's something fun and engaging and positive that really supports the relationship and encourages your kids to do what they can to be more successful. So that's the brief synopsis of parenting positively. There's a lot more to this, and I know that this is a topic that is near and dear to a lot of your heart. So I really would love to hear from you about what you think about this concept.
Well, this is Paulette. You know, I've been trying to be more praising, and when you're really focused on the negative, it's hard to think of the positive. I mean, I know that sounds awful, but now I'm finding it easier. But then she said, well, I got kind of the feedback that it sounded fake when I was giving some positive feedback, and I'm like, well, okay, now I got to try and make it, you know, sincere sounding, and I didn't mean for it to sound fake, but, you know, so I guess there's the truth behind that, or the challenge of, you know, thinking of something that's valid in the end. If she's 17 and realizing, well, I can say things and not mean them, I guess, but I guess that was something I thought of while you were saying that.
Yeah, well, so what I'm hearing is that part of your daughter's perspective is she wants to feel authentic, and it sounds like it's kind of mm-hmm. resonating that you're stretching, but you know, one of the things I was reading, that one of my friends had a blog post on Facebook tonight, and she was talking about gratitude journals and how she's having her whole family, you know, do something more focused on gratitude, and like every night at dinner, you can have everybody say, you know, a few things that they're grateful for, or you can get into a practice where every night before you go to bed, you identify like five things you're thankful for. You know, but it's just, I think when we get into the habit of celebrating the things that we are grateful for, it helps us to, it makes it easier to be positive about other things, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and actually this friend, so let me finish the punchline, she said that she's a teenager, and the way she's dealing with snarky attitude is that every time there's a snarky attitude, they have to go and write down 20 things that they're grateful for before she'll finish the conversation. Uh-huh. 20 might be hard for our kids, but I thought it was a great concept to encourage. And I know that with my kids, when they were younger and they would say unkind things to each other, the rule was whenever you said something unkind, you needed to say three things that you liked about your sibling as a balance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, good.
So what comes up for anybody else?
One of the things that I've always liked to do with my kids in an area, and an older mom taught me this a long time ago, was just, you know, just throughout the day when you see something that has to do with their character or maybe it's a gift they have or whatever, just always speaking, like, truth into that or just pointing them to the future. Like, my younger son's very compassionate and sensitive to other people's feelings, and especially if it's, like, a homeless person on the street or things like that. So I always like to take that and say, wow, look at that gift you have in you to notice that kind of thing in someone else. You know, not everybody has that. I like to point that kind of stuff out. Or you're good at, you know, playing the piano. What might you be able to do that someday with that when you grow up? You know, I'm just always trying to encourage them in who they are.
Great. I love that, Heather. Thank you. Other thoughts on positive parenting?
This is Lana. You know, I've been through the coaching process before, and I got a lot of great tips, and one of them was just to kind of really reflect each day on what would be useful to, you know, say or kind of do for Gabe, especially, and I have this come up on my phone app every day. So that it, on my to-do list. So it comes up and it, like, I'll get a little banner on the front of my phone that says, you know, I forget how I worded it, but it's just a way of checking in every morning of like, what does Gabe need right now? So it's that question of what does he need right now that I can do to help him feel loved and confident. So it's a great reminder to myself, to look for that every day. And it's definitely helped me grow in terms of finding moments where I can, you know, even today we were talking about homework that wasn't done, but he actually went in and talked to one of his teachers before I picked him up from school. So, I mean, I gave him a high 20 and just sort of like, that was just so great, you know. So, yeah, six assignments didn't get done, but he went and talked to his teacher for himself. So that was a big deal, you know.
Yeah. But I love how you phrase that. It's like, what does he need today to feel loved and supported?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you, Lana.
Mm-hmm.
Other thoughts? What gets in the way of parenting positively?
For me, this is Terry, it's the constant need to repeat myself that drives me stark raving mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's mind-numbing when you have to constantly say, go brush your teeth, go brush your teeth, go brush your teeth, go brush your teeth.
Yep. For us, after school, it's empty your backpack. It's the first thing every week, every day. Empty your backpack, put everything away, and I probably say it 4 or 5 times, and the poor kid, she starts to do something else because I didn't, you know, I'm on top of her, but I'm not all over her. And so she may have started to do something else, and I'm like, empty your backpack. She's like, I can't do two things at once. And my response tends to be, if you did what I asked you to do the first, you know, the first thing I asked you to do, we wouldn't be having this discussion again.
So, Terry, is there a way to look at that that doesn't feel like it's a hassle?
For her, for me, for both of us?
For you.
For me?
What if you knew? Yeah, it's like, what if you knew that in order to get her to comply to something, it would take you 20 times to tell her? And that was just the way it worked.
Yeah, I suppose that would be a help. Wouldn't be so frustrating.
Because I think that
maybe allowed me to keep my mind a little bit longer.
Yeah, because I think what a lot of times what happens is that we think that they should be able to follow the directions the first time, and so then we get set up for failure because, I mean, our kids, for the most part, with rare exception, and I've worked with parents for a long time, it's like our kids want to do right, you know, and if they're not able to, it's because they can't for whatever reason, because of their brain or they're too tired or they're, you know, too distracted or too whatever. I mean, it usually has to do with their neurology, you know, the naughty versus the neurological, you know. But if you went in with a perspective that, you know what, I'm going to have to tell her 10 times, and that's the rule, and on the 10th, you know, and if magically it happens before the 10th time, it would be fabulous, but it might take 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
How does that change things for you?
Yeah, not feeling as frustrated already.
Mm-hmm. All right, other thoughts?
Well, this is Lisa. I, you know, get so frustrated because exactly like I'll ask my son to do something or we're kind of in the middle of something, but then he gets distracted and, you know, and I want him to finish what he was doing so that I can move on and go do something else. And he's in the middle of, like, you know, I don't know, fixing this toy, which takes him like 5 minutes. And I get mad, and then I just end up grabbing the toy out of his hand, and I said, you know, I told you to go take care of this now. And he's like, why are you getting so mad? I don't know what suggestions you might have for – I don't mind telling him things 5 times. That's pretty common. But I do get angry when he gets distracted and does something else in the middle of it and tells me in a minute, because it's never a minute. It's always like 5 minutes or 7 minutes or whatever, and I kind of feel like if I'm not on top of him, it's just not going to get done.
Okay. So what if we apply the same logic that we just had with Terry and said, let's assume that that's the way it works. And, you know, some large portion of the time when you ask him to do something, he's going to get distracted and
mm-hmm.
it's going to tell you it's going to take 5 minutes. I can tell you my son's 15 and every night he says, I need 5 minutes. But I know he does, and so
mm-hmm.
I make sure tell him 5 minutes ahead of time so that, you know, I'm not, you know, it's not 11 o'clock at night and he's saying 5 minutes, it's 10:45 and he's saying I need 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make
mm-hmm.
sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because, it's the same sort of thing where it's like it's and we're going to talk about shifting expectations next time, and that's really what this is about, is setting an expectation that makes sense. And so, you know, if you ask your child to comply with something and they aren't able to, and that's why I asked, who was it earlier? Oh, I think it was, we were talking about the doing the homework at after school. I think it was Terry, right? And I asked her if she's been able to be successful in doing it more than once. And so that's the question, is like if your child is consistently unsuccessful at doing something that you want them to do, chances are it's hard for them. And so you've got to take a step back and say, okay, how can I make it easier for them? What expectation do I need to have so that I don't get frustrated, because obviously this is a hard thing for them. Does that make sense, Lisa?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make it any less frustrating until you decide to not be frustrated by it. And
mm-hmm.
I hate to say it that bluntly, but that's the challenge in this. It's somebody else could be in the same situation with your son and not get frustrated.
Mhm. So give him that five. Let him finish playing with that toy for 5 minutes, and then see if he does what he was asked to do. And if not, then remind him.
Well, and I think the thing is that you're talking about a transition here, and so our kids, particularly when they're your son's 10, right? So at 10, transition is really, really, really hard. And even at 15, I find that transition is really, really, really hard. And so it may be that you need to say, okay, in 5 minutes, I'm going to need you to do this. Or in 10 minutes, I'm going to need you to do this. And then you come back in 5 minutes and you say, okay, in 5 minutes, I'm going to need you to do this. I mean, I can tell you that. Go ahead.
Because, I get the transition, okay, in 5 minutes, we're going to do this. So you've got 5 minutes. But we'll be, in the middle of something, and he'll see a toy on the side of the table that is not in the shape that he wants it in. And he'll pick it up and start working on that. And I'm trying to redirect him to what we've already been working on. And he'll tell me in a minute, I need to fix this. And that, so I feel like we're not in a transition. He just got distracted.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out how to deal with that.
So if you're going to try to, so his goal is to find a positive way to redirect him back to the task. So what is it usually when you're trying to do homework and he gets distracted by a toy or something?
Yeah.
So for one thing, I would encourage you to look at the environment that you're doing homework in. And so you want to try to limit the distractions in the environment as much as you can. And there's always going to be something that's going to distract them. But if you can do homework in an area where there aren't any toys or any things or anything like that might be distracting, that might be the first thing. But if you're going to try to find a positive way to encourage him to not be distracted, what would an alternative be to what you're doing now?
I could tell him what a good job he's doing, what a good job he's been doing on focusing so far.
Great. So while when he is able to focus for 10 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever a short period of time is that he can reasonably focus, congratulate him. Good job. You're staying focused. Look at you. You're staying on task. It's been 10 minutes. Keep going. You can do it. That sort of thing. Great suggestion. Anybody else have suggestions for Lisa? Quiet. So there's two pieces to it, Lisa. Is one is praising like crazy when he is focusing on it. The other thing is redirecting as positively as you can. I mean, I think about when kids are really little, when they're toddlers. I don't know if some of you have littler kids, but they always say correct and redirect. And so it's kind of like, if your child is doing something they're not supposed to, you give them something else, and you redistract them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may be that you might want to find a way to redistract him back into his work, or to set a timer, or to do something to kind of limit the distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, Lisa, if you're ADD yourself, but I know a lot of moms who also have that distractibility.
Mm-hmm.
More you can highlight that and notice it and go, wow, I just really got totally distracted. Let me get back to what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
If we have some of the same challenges that our kids do, the more transparent we are about our own challenges,
mm-hmm.
the easier it is to begin to talk to them about their challenges as well. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Right. Awesome. Any other thoughts on positive parenting? And then do a little laser coaching. So can I have a volunteer to do some laser coaching? Anybody's got something specific they want to get some support on? Nobody?
It's almost like everybody's gone.
Well,
no, y'all are there. You're all there. I
feel like I got a lot today, so I wanted to make sure everyone else got a chance.
Okay. Paulette, what about you?
Well, I've just been listening to what people have been saying, and I'm thinking of a gift that they have, and reminding what does she need today? You know, so that it's kind of settled, and think that everything's going okay. But I think she'd be good if I check in with her. I mean, I do check in with her, but I mean, what can I think of? What do you need today? Maybe. Good for me.
Yeah. And sometimes it's hard. I mean, with our teenagers, it's like sometimes when you ask them, you know, even if you try to find a way to ask them that question, they're like, you know, don't bother me. I don't need anything
yeah.
from you. I'm fine.
Leave me alone. Shut the door.
Well, and I got to tell you that what it's like before, because yeah. I know that my 15-year-old is having a hard time with his homework tonight, and he always seems to be challenged when I'm on a call to kind of stay focused with it. And so just before the call, I went and got him a bowl of ice cream with some chocolate sauce and a cookie and some whipped cream, because I know that the sugar will help him get through the rest of his homework. So,
yeah.
You know, it's about noticing and gifting when you can.
Mm-hmm.
So, who wants some coaching?
Well, I just have one thing. If nobody's saying anything, I'm this is Paulette again. So, like, she's doing her homework, and she does it, like, on her bed, and she's doing sharpening her pencil, and she's all the shavings are going on the bed and on the sheets, and, you know, we took a dinner break, and I came back, and I saw it, and it's just, I just started to, like, oh, my God, I had to clean it up. And she was mad that I cleaned it up, but, you know, it was just driving me nuts that there was, you know, pencil shavings, and she doesn't care that there's no garbage can there, and I started to get really upset, and then I tried to make my voice not upset that this was happening, and it was helping me, but she still, I mean, threw me out of the room, and, I mean, not threw me, but, I mean, like, I knew that she was upset that I got upset at her, but how do I know it's small stuff, but it's just, like, little,
yeah.
But it's
yeah.
not bad. You
well,
know, here,
hard.
Use the garbage
yeah.
can, okay?
Right, and it's really hard when your kids do things that make your skin crawl is what it sounds like. It's just kind of like, oof.
Yeah.
So what was it about this, what was it really about the savings that bugged you?
That she had just a disregard, you know, that she couldn't even have the, you know, mindset to put it, you know, the shavings in the garbage can, and I got mad at her for that.
Yeah, so what, well, if she doesn't care about shavings in her bed, what does that say about her?
Yeah, what does that say? That she doesn't care about what she's, like, off in her bed, it's really, really messy, and I'm making it for her, I'm, you know, putting clothes, you know, making the sheet at the end of the bed, you know, tucking it in. No, I shouldn't do that crap, but I'm trying to make
well, so
it better for her
Paulette.
Sleeping, you know. Huh?
You know, my guess is that you have a value around that. I mean, is it a value around order? Is it a value around neatness? Is it a value around beauty?
Yep.
What's the value for you?
It must be about order. I think it's about order, I think.
Okay. Well, so it's a value for you. When you have a 17-year-old daughter, and it sounds like she has a different value than you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it makes perfect sense that you get frustrated with her. But I guess the question I would ask is that if your daughter doesn't share your value and she doesn't care about order, what does that say about you?
That she's different than me. Or,
okay. Great. Right, because there's some parents who would say, oh, I'm a bad mom because I didn't raise a daughter who wants to keep her room nice. But it sounds like that might not be where your brain goes.
Say it again, I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
So there's some parents would say that if I've got a daughter who doesn't even want to keep her room clean enough that she doesn't have pencil shavings in her bed, I must be a bad mom.
Hmm. Well, I don't feel bad. I just feel bad for her that it's messy and it's icky to sleep in. But I guess she doesn't care. But then eventually it does affect me because I'm washing those sheets, you know. And
okay. Well, so to the extent that it impacts you, is there a way for you to take action without getting in the way of her desire to have things the way she wants them?
I don't know. Took away the pencil sharpener that didn't have, like, the little case over where the shavings were. You're not
great.
Using this anymore.
Great. So you give her an alternative way of sharpening her pencil so she doesn't end up with shavings in it. Great. So you're taking action that will help change the situation. What else could you do?
Yeah. I didn't do anything else besides clean it up myself. And she watched me do it. So maybe I could have her help me do it rather than me just doing it. But if she's not into it, I just let it go.
You could let it go. Well, that's interesting. That, you know, so there are parents who close their kids' doors so that they don't have to deal with seeing that sort of stuff unless it becomes a health hazard. They go in once a month with a shovel and clean it all out.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that comes to mind, because she's 17, is there a way to just make her responsible for it? So that you say something like, well, if you're not going to take good care of your sheets, then you need to wash your own sheets.
Yeah. Okay.
So what did that resonate for you, Paulette?
That seems like I could try that. I mean, I think that'll work. I mean, instead of my doing it, that she can wash her own sheets, and I won't have to deal with it at all.
Well, so here's the other piece of this, Paulette, is that you have a value around order. And so there's part of you that really likes to have your house looking nice and everything in its place. And you've got a daughter who doesn't quite get that the same way you do. And so is there something, this is going to sound kind of trite, but it's like, is there something special that you can do for yourself, maybe in other parts of the house or even in her room, that's going to help you to feel better and more honored about this value of yours? So it's your value.
I don't know. I know this seems kind of, you know, little, I guess. It was just something that came up recently. I'm not that upset about it, but I cleaned it up myself, so there's some way I can stop cleaning it myself.
Well, and this is the challenge, is that when it comes to something that's of value to us, unless you're going to make something a rule and say, okay, everybody has to do X, Y, and Z in their room all the time, and this is the rule, you're really in a situation where you have to, you know, you have to find ways to honor your kids' values or the fact that they have different values than you do. And so you choose to either do something yourself or you choose to hold them accountable. And that's ultimately the choice we have to make.
Okay. Well, I can have her wash her own sheets if she doesn't want to keep the order that I want, I guess. Try that.
Yeah. How does that feel?
It's okay. I'd love her to do her own sheets.
Well, so that would be a way to kind of less pressure on you, one more chore for her.
Well, she's at it. She could do her own wash, too. But that may be pushing it.
Well, you know, you're going to have to figure out when the right time is for her to have to start doing her own stuff.
Yeah.
And what she can and can't handle. How does that feel?
Yeah. It feels scary because I don't know if I'm going to prepare her enough for the real world.
Well, I think that's a good thing to think about, Paulette, because if she's 17, you know, I don't know when you're thinking that she might live somewhere other than your house, but, you know, are there a few things of, you know, independence that you could give her and just kind of, you know, continue to say, okay, you know, this year my goal is to have her be able to do her own laundry
the next, you know, then it's my goal to have her to be able to do, you know, whatever's the next step, you know. But so you're looking at things that you could hold her more accountable for. And the reality is that it's hard because we have, you know, we want things a certain way. And when you ask your kid to be accountable for it, a lot of times you have to let go of the way you want it done. You know, it's like when I started asking my kids to fold the clothes, I had to stop caring the way the clothes were folded because they were doing it, right? Exactly. So, all right. So I want to take us back because we're getting close to our time here, to our wrap-up, and I'm on page 19 of the workbook. And at the end of each call, we're going to ask, we always ask four questions. And so, you know, take a minute and jot down some notes, and then I would love to hear from a few of you at least. You know, what did I focus on? What did I pay the most attention to in the conversation today? What did I most notice? The second question is, what's my clarity? What's my takeaway? What was the aha I had from the conversation? The third thing is, what's the realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success with this action? So take a minute, just write down some notes about our conversation about positive parenting or anything else that kind of stood out for you in our call today. And we'd love to hear from you what some ahas were and what some actions are for folks for the next couple weeks. Lana, can I call on you first?
I don't have it ready.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No worries. When anyone is complete, we'd love to hear from you.
This is Terry. So I got two different things out of today, so I'm actually going to do both at the same time.
Okay.
What did I focus on or pay most attention to? It's definitely going to be getting that homework started. And on the positive parenting side, I guess my takeaway is find ways to be more positive while helping or giving her what she needs. So that really resonated with me. And then for a realistic action step, I think I'm going to try negotiating negotiation is something else I want to work with her on. Negotiating a homework contract and seeing if I can get the folks at the ACT School program to just remind her that she has one and to get started.
Right.
And then for the positive parenting part is creating that what to do after school checklist so that I don't have to remind her five times about what she needs to empty her backpack. And if I can just point to the checklist, she generally does well with them, and it's been on my list of things to do, but I'm going to create it tonight when we hang up.
Well, the thing I love about that is that you're using a structure to help you to not have to correct all the time. You know, so
right.
You can point at the chart.
Yeah, so it's not positive for me to be telling her, Ellie, you got to finish emptying your backpack and put your stuff away. It's much more positive for me to be able to say, did you finish everything on your checklist? Because then I'm on her side. Here's your checklist. And I got a lot from trying to be on her side from last week or the week before.
Right. Who else?
This is Lisa.
I think what one thing that the aha that I got from this conversation was just when you said about, that he really, my child really does want to, you know, do what he's asked to do. But if he can't do it, if he doesn't do it, maybe it's because he can't do it at that time for whatever reason. So just, you know, remembering that in the moment, you know, and then also trying to be even more patient and, giving him that 5 minutes if he gets distracted. And also for me to not get so, you know, to go ahead and try to plan a little bit more in advance by doing something like, you know, getting the distractions out of the way. I mean, like you said, there's just distractions no matter what, even if it's just the floor. But if I get the toys out of the way and the extra books out of the way and stuff like that, then maybe that will be helpful, too. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to try to get rid of more distractions and try not to get so upset if he doesn't do what I ask him to do when I ask him to do it, and realize that maybe he can't do it right then and there, and see what I can do to support him.
So what's going to be most helpful in helping you to remember to do that?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Because sometimes we're just in such a rush, you know, it's hard to, you know, for me to think about, you know, oh, I got to get everything away from the table, you know, before he sits down to do the work. But I think when I just think about him, like, picking up a toy and, you know, looking at it and playing with it in the middle of something else, just me just kind of thinking about this conversation and trying to just redirect him, and I don't know, or it keeps on coming to my mind, just take 3 deep breaths. So I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's really important, because what happens is that we get triggered and our buttons get pushed, and then the problem starts falling apart of our brain shuts down. So it's hard to parent positively when we're triggered. I mean, it's virtually impossible when we're like suddenly we're angry or frustrated, even just a little bit, it makes it really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Those deep breaths are so helpful. Who else wants to share what they're going to focus in on for the next couple of weeks?
This is Lana. So my focus is working is having Gabe work on his assignments that are the ones that are overdue, but also, you know, just going forward, kind of. And I think the action step for me is to figure out more motivations and try to work that in better. Because as I was sitting here tonight, I started to think of a couple other things that might be motivators for him. It's gotten harder as he's gotten older. But I started to think of them. So I thought I could do that this weekend and see if I can't try to bring them in as rewards for him moving forward with his homework. And my ahas tonight were a couple things. It's definitely hit me that I am not fully grasping what my child needs to get his homework done. So there's still like a big question mark there for me. And that's something I need to continue to work on.
Pretty big aha.
Yeah. Not a happy one.
but it's a great thing. You had the aha, so here's the opportunity. You know, it's an opportunity, because now you can figure it out. And I have every confidence that you will, Anna.
Thank you.
Cool. All right, we are at time. Anybody want to do a last checkout before we sign off for the night? Okay, great. Thanks so much for a great call tonight. We are on in 2 weeks. The next call is November. Let me make sure I have my calendar up. November 6th, and we will be talking about shifting expectations. So look forward to talking to you guys then. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.